A weak solidarity Fricky team listener when Tuesday my phone rang. Oh, first, sorry, we must applaud caring business class coalition supremo and would-be big supremo Constable Peter Duffer for his brilliant tactic to address climate change, if there is such a thing, but we'll come back to that. Tuesday, my phone rang. You are now in the meeting, the voice droned. There are eight other people in the meeting. And there I was, bang in the middle of a meeting with the giant minds now in charge of the US, of the UN, of the US, of the world train-killing machine, war machine, discussing a little bit of train-killing, like when they plan to bomb the proverbial out of their Middle East enemies. That is, any country terrorist enough to criticize the US of its close friend Zion. How they plan to clear the Gaza real estate opportunity of impediments to a trample the poor Riviera resort, like the non-land, non-people surviving amid the rubble as more bombs fall and more Zion train killers maraud their existence, but not for long, as the giant minds agreed with their very, very, very close friend Zion Supremo Benjamin, not another Yahoo, that they would clear the real estate opportunity of non-land, non-people. If non-people are non-people and those non-people have no land, then they have no right to impede progress by illegally occupying this magnificent seaside opportunity, making a strong business argument that if the countries they choose to send the non-land, non-people to refuse to accept them, then they would have no choice but to slaughter and destroy them as well. And other details of train killer tactics and matters that have absolutely nothing to do with security. And how do I know that fact? Well, Vice Big Supremo J.D. Dunce asked the National Security Advisor Mike Dumwitz whether all this talk of train killing and plans for train killing was top secret. Absolutely, Mike, absolutely. Unless we've made a small mistake again and rung the wrong person. I'm here, I stuttered. Oh, God, in that case, this discussion has absolutely nothing to do with security, nothing to do with secrecy at all, in the slightest, he absolutely again. The giant minds in charge of security certainly run a watertight ship, a nuclear-powered watertight ship. In a similar example of tight security, Supremo Donald Trump of the Poor declared the journalists the security giant minds included in their non-security discussion about bombing and assassinating in Yemen a sleazebag, the biggest sleazebag ever. A sleazebag apparently because they rang him by mistake, but Donald explained, nobody gives a damn. True. Apart from news bulletins across the world talking about it ad infinitum. Among Donald's countless great qualities, we must admit there is not a vengeful bone in his body. So it must have so pained him to withdraw the security clearances of his predecessor Joe, Joe's wife, his opponent Kamala, his previous opponent Hillary, officials in Joe's government, and four members of his own party who had the audacity not to oppose impeachment proceedings against him. Oh, and he withdrew a security detail from Joe's son. As we said, not a vengeful bone in. Not sure how many bones there are in the human body, but that's how many there are in Donald's. Another admirable quality, his modesty. There's a portrait of him in Colorado he doesn't like. Purposely distorted by his enemies, he declared. The artist had lost her talent as she got older. Ouch. And the radical left governor should be ashamed of himself. Biggest shame ever. An academic specializing in portraits, listener, where would this come from? Said, for somebody as vain and egotistical as Trample the Paw, the ordinariness of a portrait must be killing him. This is a deviation from the self-congratulatory imagery he is so fond of. What a cruel and hurtful statement. But I haven't heard Donald's comment on the academic, but got a feeling it won't be all that complimentary. Donald's other very, very close friend, brackets temporary, Elon, urged his staff to hang on to their Tesla, shorthand for Test Shithouse shares, which are crashing despite Donald opening a Test Shithouse dealership on the White House lawn, crashing faster than one of Elon's spaceships destined for Mars, but which can't get even more than 100 metres off Earth before blowing to smithereens, a touch short of the destination. Well, the distance to Mars minus 100 metres short of the destination. The shares will rise again, Elon assured them. You're thinking only of the interests of your staff then, Elon? We asked Elon. I'm thinking that if they sell the shares, could crash even further. Now there's a rarity. Elon thinking only of himself. Well, of making fortunes, same thing. Donald and Elon's biggest true Blavozzi admirer, our very own filthiest rich of the filthy rich, Gina, warned parents at her alma mater, St. Hilda's Anglican Girls' School, after careful and thorough research, the curriculum is woke. And at a rough estimate, she said at least a third is anti-true Blavozzi propaganda worse. Lord Rupert of Washing's Lie News reported a maths teacher is, sit down, dear, this is, sit down, please, is transgender, and another claims to be non-binary. Imagine what that means for the poor little rich girl children of the filthy rich. Gina blamed this on the principal, whom she describes with that disgraceful pejorative progressive, and calls on the parents to take a stand. One newspaper claimed St. Hilda's Anglican Girls' School is affectionately known as Shags. How cruel. Now, Constable Duffer's brilliant policy to address climate change, if there is, as we prepare to suffer five boring weeks of Pete and Big Supremo Anthony Albanese and their spin doctors trying to convince us they are the more adept at running the greatest little economic order of them all on behalf of the great practitioners of the greatest little. Brilliant, Pete. More and more gas at face value, but Pete's more and more gas means less and less gas. See, the great gas resource giants say forcing them to supply their product locally would deter investment. They will be loath to invest in more and more gas, thus less and less. What a cleverly thought through Machiavellian policy. Although Pete may have balanced that a bit by also promising to encourage people to use more and more fossils in their cars, while Anthony launched his campaign by declaring his commitment to address climate change and the environment, getting off to a big start by approving seven farms doing their bit to render yet one more species extinct after vetoing his minister's proposal for a federal environmental protection authority protecting the Western True Blavozzi resource behemoths instead, giving us a clear choice between a fossil policy on the one hand and a fossil policy on the other. Now, not that the government can't take strong action against the great practitioners of the greatest little economic order when it is necessary, like that long expensive inquiry into the supermarket duopoly was worth every cent as it found they abused their duopolistic power, including ripping off suppliers and customers. The biggest profits in the world, it found. Interesting, seeing they keep telling us their markups are so small, almost giveaway. And full marks to the inquiry and the government for coming down hard on all this abuse. Yes, what action will we take? We will keep an eye on them. But what penalties? What punishment? As I said, we will keep an eye on them. Oh, the poor supermarkets, poor dears, don't we feel for them? Forced after a long, expensive inquiry, finding plenty of abuse to conduct business as usual. Although for a fleeting moment I thought Kills Value had seen the light, was making a huge admission. Kills Value names Victoria as nation's supermarket capital of theft, the headline screamed. Good on them, I thought. They're finally admitting what we all know, and for that matter, didn't need an elongated inquiry to tell us, but then discovered no admission. They were accusing their customers of stealing from them. How could we think for one moment they're thieves? In their case, it's called business as usual. Ditto Big Tobacco, that most honourable of business, in a pre-budget submission calling for a freeze on tobacco taxes. Not through any self-interest, of course, but because the high price of their products was encouraging criminal behaviour. And imagine how that must upset them. Let's repeat that. Big Tobacco is upset by criminal behaviour. Oh, of course, it murders its customers legally. We've mentioned how poor Rio Tinto the planet has been threatened with the disaster of its long-term anti-unionisation campaign being thwarted by ingrate workers joining an evil union. The threat highlighted this week by former caring business class MP Prude Goward, which rhymes with guess who. Remember, Prude and her husband wrote a 700-page biography of Little Johnny Howhard, which at last counted sold a sensational 20 copies nationwide. Well, this week, Prude wrote that the resource industry would suffer immeasurably if the greedy evil unions were able to extract damaging costs like wages and crippling work practices. Surely that doesn't mean the caring employers have been... No, surely not. But here's something worth thinking about for the next 5 weeks. At the heart of any socialist government, Prude wrote, lies the obligation to serve the interests of their parent company, the union movement, before the national interest. And so finally, when a balanced, objective, deep thinker like Prude puts it that way, it's certainly food for thought, listener. What a threat to our way of life those evil unions are. Final cheery note, despite the smaller parties and independents, the ultimate result, Anthony Albanese or Constable Duffer. That should cheer up your morning. Whee! Good morning.